The most difficult part about this message this morning is while preparing it was determined what to leave out. For the Word of God is plentiful and the Scripture is plentiful, stating and restating the principles set forth in this message. And the principles are also very clear and so prominent in our nation's founding and the early writings of our founding fathers. And yet constantly they were overlooked, disregarded and disesteemed, maligned by our nation and our nation's leaders, that many in our nation have little or no respect for these principles and believe they no longer apply. I'm not going to be able to take time to read the entire passage from Deuteronomy here, but if you were to go back and read this, Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse number 24, and going, we're going to go into a little bit of 32. I'd like to read the whole chapter here, but I'm not going to be able to do so. Time limitations, but if you go back and read this, these are the final words, of, I could say the farewell address of Israel's leader, Moses. And then it reminds me so much of the farewell address of Washington, our founding father, the father of our nation, and his farewell address. If you go back and read this, you will see there's a lot of references from our founding fathers from this passage or little allusions to this message. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 24, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee." You could say to hold us accountable to draw the line, to redraw the line, to draw the line again and again and again, that we refer back to this to make sure that we are still living our lives and our nation still going to be run by the same principles that he's about to lay forth. Verse 27. Why would he do that? "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death?" When I'm no longer here, look over your shoulder. You don't realize that God is looking over our shoulder. When I'm never looking over your shoulder, I can only imagine what we're going to be doing. Verse 28, "Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know after my death ye shall utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." And Moses spake in the ears of the congregation of Israel the words of this song, until they were ended. We're starting in verse number 1 of chapter 32. But let me say first, this is where we are right now in America. America says, there are people in this nation who think that we were founded on Christian principles. Oh, that can't be true. No, that just can't be true. And so they have not only have they forgotten where we came from, but they want to propagate the falsehood that it was never there in the first place. That we never started our nation built on principles from the Word of God. They're going to try to tell the ignorant and naive students and young people of our nation that don't worry about God. We did this all by ourselves. And there's a danger in that. Deuteronomy 32:1 says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." In other words, I'm going to try to be as nice about this as I can. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." When's the last time our nation ascribed greatness to the name of God? Verse 4. "He," our God, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, and for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. For they have corrupted themselves, their spot," or you could say the stain of sin, and been spotted by sin. "Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. He says, this is not the way his children act. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. He says, you're not acting like my children. My children don't act like this. Do ye thus requite the Lord? In other words, you don't even right out of respect of God. You don't even do right out of respect to God as your father that gave you life in his land to enjoy? I mean, at least do that. O foolish people and unwise, is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember, think about America when we remember reading this. Think about America. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Verse 7, ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in the desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, instructed him, he kept him as a people, the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, that he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, and from the fat of lambs, and the rams of breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys and wheat, and thou shalt drink the pure blood of the grape. All that is to say this, God gave America, and he blessed America among all nations. And you know, there's still people in this world who think that America is basically the promised land. When Ellis Island was open and they were running new immigrants in here, some of them literally thought they're going to come to America and find streets of gold and gates of pearl. Because they had heard how God had blessed this nation above all other nations. But that's because he divided unto us a land. He gave us a land to be the light and the shining in this world. We were the greatest light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the world for many, 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 many years. And now we want to deny we even know him. I can't give you all the verses here, but I'm going to give you some points here this morning. Number one, God is truth. In our passage there, chapter 32, verse 3 and 4, says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. And let me say this. If God is truth and God never dies, then truth is marching on. So, well, then why do we have such bad things? Because truth is marching on. We can either march on with truth, or truth can march over us. Number two, truth has fallen in the street. This is from Isaiah, but it sounds like America. Number one, God is truth, but number two, truth has fallen in the street. Truth in the hands of men has been dropped, and yet it will continue to march on without them. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says this, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. We don't care about truth anymore. All we care about is our feelings. For they trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, they bring forth iniquity. Their works are works of iniquity and the act of violence in their hands. Verse 7, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood, like abortion or just whoever they want to throw in front of a subway train or just beat up on a street because they want to. Nothing else to do on Friday night.
Their thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but we behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at the noonday as in the night. We are in the desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far off. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. It's almost like, well, we used to know truth. I don't know. We dropped it along here someplace, but that's okay. We'll be fine without it. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. He says this, the truth faileth. And those who really want to stick by truth, people are attacking them. They're being attacked. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for a clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Somewhere along the way, we dropped the ball. We dropped truth in the street, and we didn't pass it on to the next generations. We are so far in perverseness. I mentioned this on Wednesday. This is the article out of the York Daily Record from this past Wednesday, June 28th. Headline, West York policy allows girls to not compete against trans athletes. Now listen to this. The West York Area School District has passed a resolution that permits its female athletes to opt out of competition that involves transgender athletes. The resolution permits female athletes to discuss opting out of competition that, quote, may run afoul of their own personal religious beliefs, unquote, without repercussions. Board Vice President George Margettis said at the school board's June 20th meeting. The policy is intended to, quote, empower girls to make their own decision, quote, unquote, as to whether they choose to compete against transgender athletes and show that, quote, we support our female athletes. Give me a break. Marquetta said during the meeting, the intent of the resolution is whether female athletes, quote, choose to compete or not, the board has their back. No, they don't. The policy is not a ban on transgender athletes, as the Red Lion Area School District has passed, although along with a policy that requires transgender students to use bathrooms based on the gender listed at their birth certificates. Southwestern School District is also considering a policy that covers which bathrooms and locker rooms that transgender students may use. Oh. In other words, these big old bad girls don't want to play with the boys. And we're going to hurt these little boys who want to be girls. We're going to hurt their feelings. So we're going to let the girls say we don't want to go. And we won't, listen, they want to be bigots. That's okay. But we won't be mean to them because they're bigots.
We'll just let them drop out of the sports program, and we'll give the sports programs to the transgenders and call it girls' sports. This is the ridiculous thinking of a world gone perverted. And it's right in our backyard, 5 miles from here. And we wonder why God has lifted his hand of blessing on America. When conservative York County cannot decide whether a girl is a girl and a boy is a boy. Thank God for the school districts that are taking a stand. Truth. God is truth. And truth has fallen in the street. Number three, we can either march with truth or truth will march over us. Truth is marching on whether we march with it or not. We can either march on with truth to the ultimate victory, or we can be trampled by truth as it marches on without us. And we're left bloodied and dead. Either surrender to the truth or be crushed by the truth. Luke 20:17 says, this is the words of Christ, "What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." What's he saying? Listen, don't tell us these things out of the Bible. It hurts our feelings. It breaks our spirit. He says, well, listen, be better to break your spirit than for the Spirit of God to grind you to powder. Either we get on board with truth or truth will grind us up. We will be on the wrong side of God. What a dangerous place to be. Number four, if you're on the side of truth, you're on the winning side, whether it appears that you're on the winning side or not. Truth continues to march on, and it will continue to march on for eternity. Now, if you march in truth, you get to march on through eternity, whether in this world or in the next, you're hanging with truth. But if you decide you're going to go against truth, it will die because that will not march on for eternity. Truth will have the ultimate victory. And don't forget it. We may not be fully faced with truth until we see the Lord face to face, but at that point, you better be ready, because one of these days we will face truth face to face. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. In other words, I don't care who you are. And all that, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Truth is marching on. Either get with the truth or be ready to be ground to powder. It may not be now, it may be the other side, but one of these days we will face God for this. This is where our nation is right now. This is where our nation is, Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That's exactly what we're doing right now. They hold truth in unrighteousness. You hold up truth. Oh, no, that's not good. That's not loving. That's not nice. You shouldn't do that. You're hurting people's feelings. Listen, God hurts my feelings sometimes too. But God is truth, and God is going to be here forever, and I better get on his side, not try to pretend that he's on my side. "Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them." They know who they're talking about. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Or we can just try to explain it away and say, well, a man is really not a man unless he feels like a man. A woman is not a woman unless she just feels like a woman. And if a man feels like a woman, then he's a woman. And if a woman feels like a man, then she's a man. Today, maybe tomorrow be different. You know, it's fluid. 21, "Because that when they knew God," he's the boss, "they glorified him not as God." They did not decide that he was the authority. "Neither were thankful." You know, we ought to be just grateful that God hasn't already squished us like a bug.
They glorified him not, neither were thankful, but became vain, empty. In their imaginations, in their foolish heart, was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They're denying the truth, which is the epitome of arrogance, by the way, and pride. To deny truth is the epitome of arrogance. I know better than truth. I know this is this, and this, and this, and this is all right there for us, but it's not the way it is. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also hath gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Oh, I mean there's nature? Oh, I mean God designed something? There's a way all this works? They did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And by the way, quote-unquote transgender Christians say that God never talks about this. Homosexual Christians say that God never talks about this in the New Testament. And where we think it is in the Old Testament, well, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because they were not hospitable. They were kind of mean to them when they came came to town. When the angels came to town, they were mean to them. That's why he destroyed them all. Well, daggone, he owes them an apology. You go to New York City and get mugged. Go to Chicago and get mugged. Go to York and get mugged. If they were destroyed because they were inhospitable, then he's got a lot of answering to do. That's not what it was. That's where our nation is. You see, we are not going to get away with trampling down truth. Romans 2:2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles, for there is no respect of persons with God. See, in these perilous days, our society does not want to hear truth. 2 Timothy 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But truth is marching on. We had better know what truth is. Those that stand on truth are often seen as the enemy. Galatians 4 says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Listen, we must stand on truth, in the truth, and for the truth. Let me say it again. We must stand on truth, in the truth, and for the truth. Ephesians 6 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, we can march on with truth
to the ultimate victory, or we can attempt to march against truth and be crushed by it. So what must we do? 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for the kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Listen, if you can't pray for their sake, pray for your sake. Listen, we're not going to live in quiet peace and godliness and honesty unless God changes the hearts of those who are leading us and the followers. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith, in verity, truth. We must pray for our nation, but we also must win our nation to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We must bring them to the knowledge of the truth. How do we prepare to do this? Well, this sounds like a regular Sunday morning message, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. You know what that means? We can talk about truth all we want. And we can say the truth is marching on, we better march on with it. The problem is way too many Christians don't even know what truth is. There are Christians who think that the Christian thing to do is to, now, I'm not saying we need to be mean, but I think the Christian thing to do is just let everybody do as they please. Well, God says, if our nation, if they do as they please and walk in the ways of the world, he will destroy us too. I'm sorry, I'm going to keep my business out of your business as much as I can. But when you do this, this is my business because I live in this nation. And I want God's blessing on this nation. Daggone, I'm not going to let you destroy it. Now, we need to do our best to win them to Christ. Love them. I understand that. I mean, you don't go to their face like with and point their little finger like that and expect them to come to Christ. But in my heart, we have a job to do. Otherwise, we sit here and say, well, that's just the way it is. And maybe we won't get a whole lot better. But I'll tell you what, we don't have to go empty-handed. There's a few others we can take with us. We need to know truth. We do not need to know every falsehood. If it does not agree with truth, it's false, and we should reject it. 1 John 1, and this then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're doing what the rest of the world is doing, trying to be nice, we say we're being Christian, but you're not walking in truth. If you're not walking in truth, then you're not walking as Christ walks. Don't lie to yourself. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Truth is marching on. Are you marching on with truth and in truth, or are you walking in the wisdom of this world, which is against truth, that makes you an enemy of God? If we expect our nation to survive, we must go back to truth. If our nation refuses to go back to truth, we can still have the peace of God and the blessing of God in our lives because 2 Chronicles 16:9, individually I'm talking about, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast, and it gives us the context there. We can do what we need to do for our sake. We may not live in a nation blessed by God, but we can still be blessed by God ourselves nonetheless. Truth is marching on.
Who are you marching with? It used to be when someone walked contrary to the word of God, we said they marched to the beat of a different drummer. We've come to the point in our nation that those that march with truth are accused of marching to the beat of a different drummer. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will be a father unto you. I beg you to march with truth, or truth will march right over you and crush you. When our nation's God was the Lord, God blessed our nation because truth was marching on in a positive way. When we became intoxicated with unbroken success, as Abraham Lincoln said, and we forgot God and the blood of our people was shed in the streets of our nation in horrific civil war, truth was marching on. But our nation sought the Lord and our nation was healed. Truth was marching on. When our nation was in the midst of a world war and our people filled the church houses in prayer for deliverance, the Lord gave us victory and we became the greatest nation on earth. We call that the greatest generation. But I think what made that really the greatest generation was a God-fearing, praying generation. And truth was marching on. When our nation decided to divorce itself from God and took it out of our public schools and didn't want to mention it to our children, deny the mention of God in our public institutions, moral depravity increased. And once again, blood was running in our streets and in the abortion houses of our nation. We are declining as an international power. Truth is marching on. Romans 3:3 says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and let every man a liar." God's truth is going to continue to march on because truth never changes. Truth never stops. And being true, and no one can change truth. We must be on the side of truth. We will either walk in truth, or truth will march over us.